Hallelujah, what a saviour. And as we read from Acts 8, the title is Philip in Samaria. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah's there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Simon the sorcerer. Now for some time a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the peoples of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is rightly called the great power of God." They followed him because he has amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. But when they believed, as Philip proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me." After they had further proclaimed the word of the Lord and testified about Jesus, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts.
So we're continuing our series that I hope by the end you'll be able to say to somebody, "Let me just tell you about the kingdom of God, and I can explain it to you in this situation or that situation or this situation that we are in." And today I am actually going to repeat one of our values over and over again, and the point is to try and keep awake and to actually spot which value am I emphasizing that we have at PBBC through the sermon today. So we're looking at Luke, who writes in the book of Acts that great persecution had broken out amongst those who had been empowered by God's Spirit and scattered to the surrounding nations. And we know the consequences of when we are empowered by the Spirit, because it tells us in Scripture, it tells us that those who were timid, those who were broken, those messed up disciples began to proclaim about God's kingdom and minister as Jesus did. That's the impact of being empowered by God's Spirit. They were no longer shy, no longer hidden, no longer scared of the consequences or embarrassed about actually witnessing about King Jesus and God's kingdom. Isn't that phenomenal, the impact of the power of the Holy Spirit? Because remember, Pentecost had just happened. They were now scattered in God's power. This is what they did. And remember, I spoke a couple of weeks ago about we as Jesus' disciples. Remember, you have the ability to see, to hear, to know and understand the secrets and mysteries of God's kingdom. He has given this to you. It's not something you earn. You've got it. And empowered by the Spirit, you can pass that on. Just as the disciples did here, you have the ability to demonstrate God's kingdom wherever you go. And now sometimes you're sort of thinking, like, you know, Dave sort of emphasized there, I'm not expecting you to walk into the supermarket, you know, Tesco's maybe, and start delivering someone who starts shrieking and shouting and writhing on the floor. That is not what I'm talking about. Yeah? All right? You know, I think you don't realize, and we were talking about, is a hunger? Well, you're hoping that happens, actually. But, you know, that's, you know, the idea of how do we actually demonstrate God's kingdom in our daily lives? I mean, remember, the kingdom of God is one of reconciliation and blessing and peace and joy and righteousness and justice and agape love. So each time when you're empowered by the Holy Spirit that you love unconditionally, you are demonstrating God's kingdom. Each time you carry God's peace and reconciliation into a situation where there is angst and anxiety and conflict, you are bringing and demonstrating God's kingdom. Each time you walk into a room that's miserable and you bring in some stories or some joy, do you know what I mean, and change the atmosphere in that room, you are demonstrating and bringing God's kingdom. And each time you fight for justice, you pray for justice, you are demonstrating that God's kingdom is one of justice, and we will stand with these people and fight with them. Every time you do these kind of things in word and deed, you are demonstrating the kingdom of God. So we see, hear, know and understand, and therefore able to demonstrate. And as Jesus' disciple, we know who rules in God's kingdom. Well, I hope you do. Yeah. And how they rule. What the culture is in God's kingdom. If you've forgotten, then a good summary is Matthew 5-7. Yeah. What languages are used in God's kingdom? What dress you have in God's kingdom? Remember, you've got the whole armor of God. You've got, a robe of righteousness. You've got so many things that you are clothed with in his kingdom. That there's different fragrances in God's kingdom, different financial and economic systems, political structures. There's even a completely different health and healing, section in his kingdom. Nothing like the NHS. We know too how to enter the kingdom of God. We know, as David spoke of when he first started, remember, it's a relational, not a religious kingdom. We know the mission of God from last week, and we are able to share in our own unique way. I mean, this is the key, isn't it? You are not going to be sharing God's kingdom in my way. You're going to share it in your way, because God has created you unique in so many ways that it's pretty clear that you should not be doing it as I do, and I should not be doing it as you do. And previously, I tried to help us understand when I went from the United Kingdom to the Kingdom of Nepal, if you compare anything between two countries, that's the difference between God's kingdom and the worldly kingdoms. Comparison really helps me, so that's what we're going to do today, because Acts 8 basically shows the clash of two kingdoms. We have the clash of the kingdom of darkness versus the kingdom of light, and let's see what happens. We've already talked a little bit about the ruler in the kingdom of darkness compared to the kingdom of light, but I want to go into a bit more detail today. Colossians 1:13-14 says, "For God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Now, dominion basically means sovereignty over people or a place. And so for ease of reference, and it sounds a lot better, kingdom of darkness versus kingdom of light or kingdom of God, I'm just going to call it kingdom as opposed to dominion this morning. And Luke makes it clear in Acts 8 where Simon the sorcerer's power comes from. Do you remember how many times it's Simon the sorcerer, Simon the sorcerer? This power is not coming from God. Simon's power came from Satan and his demonic realm. We know Satan to be very different to the ruler in God's kingdom. I mean, we were reminded of it today, the Good Shepherd, I think, from Fiona. We were reminded of the Servant King, the Prince of Peace, the Son of God, the Anointed One, King Jesus. There are 200 names of Jesus in Scripture to help us understand who this ruler is. But Satan is very different. Satan is the father of lies. Remember, this is all from Scripture, whereas Jesus is the truth. Satan is the deceiver, whereas Jesus is the life giver. Satan is described as the evil one, whereas Jesus is the good shepherd. Satan is always the one who accuses us, whereas Jesus reminds us, convicts us, and says, you're forgiven of your sins. Satan is the tempter, whereas Jesus is the restorer and redeemer. And Satan is the one who steals, kills, and destroys your relationships, your families, your health, nations. That's who Satan is described as, whereas Jesus is the bringer of freedom and the fullness of life. I wonder, can you spot who rules, maybe even in your neighborhood? Who is ruling in your family? Is it Satan and his demons, or is it Jesus? Can you spot at your workplaces, actually, who's in charge here? What's happening? What's happening even in our church? What's going on? Yeah, what is going on? Is this the kingdom of God manifest, or is this the kingdom of darkness manifesting? And the point of actually being able to see and hear this is that our role as disciples of Jesus, once we see and hear, oh, this isn't of God. This person is accusing me. They are not coming alongside me and talking to me about this issue. You know that the spirit behind that is Satan. We are never to accuse. Yeah? Never to accuse somebody. It's working out how you say something so you don't partner with the accuser. You're partnering with the one who comes to forgive sins. And when we spot that, what we're meant to do is pray, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because you spotted the other kingdom, you are to pray for this kingdom to come in that situation. You have been given, you're not earning it, you've given the ability to see and hear this. And secondly, what we spot from this story in Acts 8 is the difference in character traits of people who are operating under the kingdom of darkness as opposed to those operating in the kingdom of our God. In the kingdom of darkness, pride rather than humility is prevalent. You know, verse 9, Simon boasts that he is someone great. The people followed Simon rather than Simon encouraging them to follow Jesus. I mean, I you can spot this sometimes even in, conferences and things like that, Christian conferences, can't you? The people are asking, they're encouraging you to follow the person as opposed to follow Jesus. Yeah? And that's what Simon was doing. And because Simon had the sorcerer's power, had the evil power behind him, had the demonic power behind him, the people of Samaria were deluded, because that's what Satan does. And they were amazed by his sorcery and thought it was from God and called Simon the great power of God. And if you contrast Simon's arrogance and his boastfulness and follow me attitude with Philip's, you know, Philip comes in empowered by God's Spirit, speaks with humility, grace, mercy, and he talks about following the Lord Jesus, encouraging people to repent, be baptized and filled with the Spirit so they can enter God's kingdom. Disciples of Jesus talk about Jesus, sharing who he is and what he is doing in their daily lives. Can you see the difference? Who are we speaking about? You know, I'm. Sometimes I test myself. You know, I'm in the conversation and I think, how many times have I said I? Oh, this conversation is completely about me. How many times have I mentioned Jesus in the last half hour when I'm talking with somebody or part of God's kingdom? And that's the difference, I think, between Philip and Simon. And as Philip baptized those being saved, we know from history, because we studied this when we did the Apostles' Creed, we know that at the baptism, at that ceremony, they would have declared what Philip had told them. They would have declared, as we declared earlier, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended to the dead. And on the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. We're going to look at that in a couple of weeks' time. The difference here in the character is Philip declared the greatness of God. Simon declared the greatness of himself. Kingdom of darkness, you can spot it. Kingdom of light, you can spot it. You can spot it through what's actually happening. You can spot it through how people are speaking. And then, of course, there's this demonstration of power. Philip, having been empowered by the Spirit at Pentecost, first he proclaimed who Jesus was, and then about God's kingdom. And like Jesus, Philip not only said, hey, God's kingdom is like this, he then demonstrated it. He then demonstrated it, and it says, with great signs and miracles. Philip, empowered by God's Spirit, delivered people from evil and healed the sick. He demonstrated God's kingdom, not just spoke about it, but demonstrated it. And Philip's demonstration of the spiritual power of God was far superior to the power and sorcery that Satan had demonstrated through Simon. So I love it. The people are like amazed and they love Simon and wow, look at this guy. And then Philip comes along. He's like, oh, Simon, look at this guy. I mean, look at what he is doing. You know, even the demons flee. You know, we've got people healed. We've got way more demonstration of a power. We want that power. And even Simon himself was like, I think I don't want to be part with that power. I'm going to partner with this power instead, because he recognized the greatness of it. Every single story we see of these clash of these two kingdoms. I mean, we've done the book of Exodus, where we look at Pharaoh and his sorcerers are coming up against God and his kingdom through Moses. And, you know, it isn't really a battle. Again, in a couple of weeks' time, I'm really excited. We're going to do Revelation 19. And it's the idea is, you know, Armageddon, you know, there's no battle. It's just like in the power of Jesus, bam, done. When the two kingdoms clash, there is never any doubt to which kingdom is more powerful and will overcome. God's power heals and will always deliver people from evil. Don't be mistaken, because people were amazed, remember. People really were like, oh, Simon the sorcerer. Satan has powers. He has powers to deceive, which he'd done with these people. He has powers to delude. He has powers to control and manipulate. He has powers even to heal, I've seen. And he has powers to fortune tell. But he does this and encourages pride and arrogance. Do you know, the people in Acts 8 were amazed by Simon's power from Satan. And what I found really, really sad was that people are still amazed today. I looked up on Google, the fountain of all knowledge apart from the Bible. I said, okay, Google, tell me where around Pulborough can I get healing and spiritual power? This is what I got. I got information about Reiki. I got information about, we've got a celestial healing sanctuary near us, did you know? I got the local clairvoyance. I got the covens, the tarot cards, the readers and the psychics. Not one mention of the churches in Pulborough. Unless we tell and demonstrate to people that God's power is greater than Satan's, people are turning to Satan. If you are desperate for your child to be healed, if you need something done in your life and you don't know about God, where are you going to go? You're going to look at Google. And Google's going to tell you to go to all of these satanic forces and not the God who loves them. That made me sad this week. You see, only God's power is designed to permanently heal, to set free and empower his disciples to defeat evil. Do remember, though, as we're coming out, like Jesus is in the name of Jesus, you know, we're coming against the evil. Remember, the person is never evil. It's the principalities, powers, dominions. It's the enemy that's oppressing and affecting them. It's not the person. It says it's not flesh. So if the person has flesh, they're not the evil one or the enemy. Yeah? It's the forces affecting them that we're praying against, not the people. And so what we see in the kingdom of darkness compared to the kingdom of God or the kingdom of light is the different spirits that function in these two kingdoms. We have the Holy Spirit, and you will find in Isaiah 11 verse 2 and Galatians 5, 22 is where I've taken the sources here of Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit is described as. But what you find are the demonic spirits, we find that they control. Whereas the Holy Spirit brings freedom. We find the demonic spirits manipulate, as opposed to, actually, it says in Romans, doesn't it? It's God's kindness that leads people to repentance. We're not trying to manipulate them. We're trying to demonstrate his kindness that will lead people to repentance. What happens when a trauma happens in your life is that fear and anxiety come in. And what Jesus says is, in John's gospel, well, John's letters, he actually says, it's only love that can cast out fear. In other words, casting out is about the demonic spirit. And so look at people. The trauma that they've had in their previous experience, that fear and anxiety will hang on to them. And unless we can cast off in Jesus' name that love and fill them again with love and hope and joy, then these people will continue to live in fear and anxiety. People who are in despair or depression, that's what happens with those who are affected by the demonic spirits, whereas Holy Spirit offers us hope. We know that Satan just comes to destroy. But actually, I love that the Holy Spirit is wisdom. So when you need wisdom and counsel, you can go and say, look, the spirits are destroying my family, my neighborhood, destroying my life. Give me the wisdom to know what to do so that I can cast out these spirits, rebuke them in Jesus' name, and have wisdom to know how to overcome what is affecting my family at this time. I don't know about you, terror. I've never suffered from terror, but I've certainly suffered from torment. You know what I mean? Like when you've got something going through your head over and over again and you want it to get it out. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes I wake up and it's... And I'm like, come on. I remember the night after my mother died, I was tormented. And there was things just going through my mind over and over and over and over again. And I was just like, and so eventually I got up about 2. And I just was praying, in the name of Jesus, torment, you have to go from me. I recognize who you are. And I just texted my younger sister. She was awake as well. And she just said, oh, I'm just writing, you know, my poem for mum's, for the funeral. Fabulous poem she wrote. And actually, I found that George was tormented that night too. And he'd actually written his speech for the sermon for the funeral that night. But it was amazing because we all just prayed and then slept. Anger and rage rather than patience. And I've seen this with parents, with children. I've seen it in care homes, to be honest with you, where people have run out of patience and they just shout and scream at people. You know, a couple of times with my mum in their care home, we had to complain because one of the people just got so frustrated with her, they were shouting and screaming at her. And it's just not appropriate. They were sacked. You know. But people just have this anger and rage. They don't have the spirit to give them a patience. I mean, I couldn't work in a care home, but you need patience. God can give you that. And then hate. It is amazing how hate can harbor. Whereas the Holy Spirit will just bring gentleness and love. I don't want to be any part of the demonic kingdom. I want to be part of God's kingdom. I want to recognize God's kingdom and pray off anything. Because remember, we've sung about this, we've prayed about this. There is power in the name of Jesus to get rid of the demonic and to welcome in God's Spirit instead. And the last one, which is an interesting one, isn't it? And I find this in God's kingdom an interesting one. Charging versus free. Remember, your tithing isn't a charge for coming to church. Your tithing is because you love God and want to further his kingdom. The gifts that you give are because you love God and want to further his kingdom. You are not charged for coming to church. I was thinking about this, and I'm going to do this. I was trying to think of a different name. If you can come up with a better name for us this afternoon, let me know. We are going to do not a lucky dip, because I don't believe in luck. So I have all the gifts that we've still got left over from Messy Church. We're going to give a number of those away today, and they're going to dip in and get it out. But I was thinking, they're not going to be charged. Can I call it a generous dip or something? Well, they understand what it is. In other words, our God is so different. Yeah, so different. We do not charge in the kingdom of God. But also, I think what we learn from this part of the story is, remember, Simon has received Jesus as his Lord and Savior, received the Holy Spirit and been baptized. But he clearly still needed to work out his salvation and understanding of God's kingdom. Simon offers to pay the disciples for the ability to lay hands on the people to receive the Holy Spirit. And Peter, as I describe this, think of when Peter experienced this from Jesus. Peter immediately recognized the spirit behind what Simon was asking and rebuked that spirit of wickedness. Just as Jesus had rebuked him. Remember, one minute he's saying, Jesus is Lord. And the next minute he says, you're never going to die. And immediately, remember, Jesus spoke to him. So Peter recognized and was like, I rebuke you. This spirit that's coming out of Simon, who was the sorcerer, isn't of God. And he told Simon to repent and get his heart right with God, ask for forgiveness and deal with the bitterness and sin that remained in his heart. And this is a lesson to all of us. Whether we are baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, we are all still working out our salvation. You know, sometimes it might be really good for us to rebuke each other on occasions. Just to say, what spirit are you coming at me with this morning? Or what's happening with you? You know, are you accusing? Are you speaking out of fear and anxiety? What spirit is behind what you're saying? Can we get rid of that and just enable each one of us to speak in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit and Jesus? We do accidentally partner with the wrong spirit on occasions, but we can overcome that by repenting and asking forgiveness and for God to deal with what is causing that in our hearts. God gives generously and freely of his spirit and gifts and encourages us to do likewise. As we are going to sing at the end, I'm sure you know the song, freely, freely you have received, yeah, freely, freely give. And this comes from Matthew 10:8, heal the sick. Jesus said, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons, because freely you've received these gifts, freely give them. So let's conclude. Did you spot which value of our six, A, B, C, D, E? Can you remember what they are? Which value have I said over and over again is required for us to demonstrate the kingdom of God? All welcoming is our first one, but is that what we've been saying? What has been the hint behind this from Acts 1 and 2? What happened in Acts 1 and 2 which enabled Philip and the disciples to do all of this? Yes, empowered by the Spirit. Well done, you. Empowered by the Spirit. We can't do any of this in our own strength. It's all about being empowered by God's Spirit. I pray and hope this morning that as I've compared the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God, that you're able to recognize this, not only on yourself, on your spouse, on your family, on your friends. And the idea isn't to go around, oh, Satan's affecting you. The idea is to pray. Remember, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You may be able to rebuke somebody in the church because you know them well enough. But if you don't well enough, don't do it that way. But we know that there is a solution. So as Jesus' disciples, we are empowered by God's Spirit. We have the ability to recognize who is ruling in and around us, to sense by the Holy Spirit what spirits are affecting those around us, then to pray, empowered by God's Spirit, for God's kingdom to come and his will to be done in us, through us, and around us. And it's pretty clear. Jesus taught us this, and you have the power to do this from the Holy Spirit and in Jesus' name to deliver people from evil. I wonder this morning, are you empowered by God's Spirit? Jesus said, ask. And remember, that is a recurring ask, and keep on asking. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is a daily, Lord, I need to be empowered by your Spirit. Otherwise, I'm operating in something other than that. I need to be empowered by your Spirit. But your response is to say, fill me, Lord. Fill me with your power this morning. Fill me with your Spirit. It's your choice. But Jesus here is inviting his disciples to daily ask, fill me and empower me with your Holy Spirit. I'm going to be quiet. It's between you and God what you ask him for this morning. Father God, I thank you that you're here with us today through your Spirit and through Jesus. And Lord, if people are fearful of the Holy Spirit this morning, Lord, I pray that your love would cast out that fear. Lord, Satan blinds and deludes and prevents people seeing and hearing. And so we just say, Satan, be gone in Jesus' name. Help us see and hear clearly, empowered by your Spirit, able to say there is power in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray if anyone who does not know you this morning or needs to come back into a right relationship with you this morning, I pray in Jesus' name that they would say yes to your Holy Spirit just filling this place now. They would say yes to being empowered by your Spirit. Lord, because without you we can do nothing. Nothing. And yet, Lord, we desire to see your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth, just as it is in heaven. We desire to pray, deliver us from evil. Because yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.